Everybody. Man, what an energy in the house. What an atmosphere in this place. The momentum is shifting. Come on, somebody. It's we're on the winning side of this thing. Have confidence because you're the best team. You're the best team. Amen. 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 So excited to get into today's message. I really, really am. But like I always do, just want to look and welcome all of our online church. You guys are unbelievable. And I love the fact that you are faithful to follow. Truly, we're starting to see some growth in our online church. And I'm just so just incredibly excited that you're a part of the church, even from a distance. I know so many of you don't have a home church, you travel a lot, or whatever the case may be, you're connected to us. And then I know that there are some of you that also, you just like to tune in. You have a life-giving, amazing church that you attend on a regular basis, that you serve at, but you still like being connected to us. You're awesome. Thank you so much. Come on, church. Welcome them in. It's good to have you guys. Thanks for being with us today. Also, want to just welcome you if you're a guest, if you're a first-time guest. I just want to say welcome, and that is it. No one's going to point you out or call you out, but just want to say welcome to Church on the Rock. It's an honor to host you and to have you, and our heart is just that you could just feel right at home and that you would just feel like this is your house. We just want you to feel comfortable, like you're sitting in your own living room, and we just want you to know that you are loved, you're appreciated, and let me say it this way, you fit right in. You just fit in, right? You're perfect fit for us, so welcome. Come on, church, one more time. Just give it up for those that might be a first-time guest today. So good to see you, really. Good to have you. I hate to say this because we're recording. I just feel like there's a ring up here. It's different than mic check, but you're a hero back there, man. Thank you, team. You guys are awesome. Hey, I want to get into today's message and would love to invite you to get out that worship guide that you were given when you walked in and pull out that sermon note insert that's on the inside. During this series, we're in a series, by the way, called Breakthrough, and we're in part number 3. And we've truly been calling on God in this season of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We start our year this year. Start our year this way every year, and we do it on purpose. It's not easy. It's not always fun to be fasting or to put some foods away or whatever you might have chosen to separate from in this season. It's not easy to do it, but we do it intentionally because we want to train our flesh to be secondary to our spirits. Come on, somebody. It's like practice. It's like training. It's like getting ready for the game. And so what we want to do is teach our flesh that, hey, you listen to what the Spirit in my life says. And that's really the big idea behind fasting. But in this season, I just have really felt strongly that God wants to do a supernatural work in people's lives. I really do. And God led me to this. And we started the series called Breakthrough. And intentionally, I have kept your notes simple. I've tried to just keep them really simple. If you're a regular, if you call this church home and you come here often, you know that I can get pretty busy in the notes and I can have you writing a lot of stuff. That's my flow. That's what I like. And so I present that to you. You receive it any way you want. You don't have to write anything down. You're just welcome to do it. But on purpose, I've tried to keep the notes much simpler in this series, and I've tried to keep it more where you can just kind of jot your own thoughts, because I believe that God has something that he wants to say to you. Like I know that God uses me, and I'm thankful for that. But at the same time, like, you can hear from God directly on your own. Say amen right there. Because for some of you, that's revelational. Like, can I? Absolutely. He wants to have a personal relationship with you. Like, he wants to connect to you. You don't have to go through pastor in order to meet with God. And so my prayer has been that, God, I believe there are things that you're going to say to them that I didn't say the whole time, but you said it to them. It's what they needed for their season, that they heard what the Holy Spirit had for their lives, and then you can put it into action and see the breakthrough that you are believing for. But it's been a powerful series, quite frankly. It's been a powerful season. We've been hosting prayer services every single night, Monday through Saturday, from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And they have been, I'm going to tell you right now, they have been uplifting. It is like someone is blowing wind into my sails. I mean, it really is. Like, I am being propelled. Somebody said to me days ago on one of the prayer services, they said, man, I feel bad for the staff because I know it's a lot for you guys to put a service on every single day. Like, I know that's a lot, but man, it is just lifting me up. And I just told him, I said, listen, I'm going to just speak for myself right now, but this is easy because there is nothing about this that has been draining me, only uplifting me, only putting life into me. I look forward to 6 p.m. every day, being in the presence, being in an atmosphere of worship and prayer and just letting God speak and letting God move. It's been absolutely amazing. And I'm going to say this, that if you haven't fasted anything, it's never too late. Like go for 7 days. I mean, it'd be awesome. Like, finish with us. There's no reason not to. Stretch yourself like you've never stretched before. See what God will do in you when you do. And then if you haven't attended one of our prayer services yet, simply because you just haven't, I recognize that people can't. It's like, well, I would, but it conflicts with schedules. I get that. So don't hear what I'm not saying. This is not for guilt. It's just a challenge. And it will only mean something to some of you that you just haven't gone to one simply because you just haven't gone. I'm asking you, try it. Come to one. Come tomorrow night to our prayer service and just experience it for yourself. And listen, money back guarantee, all right? If God doesn't move in your spirit in that hour, you don't have to come back and I won't say another word about it. All right, fair enough? Money back guarantee, promise you. I believe that you'll be lifted, that your spirit will be heightened, and that God will speak into your life. Amen, amen, amen. Let's get into today's message. I asked you to get notes out a long time ago, didn't I? Come on, preacher, get started. Come on. I want to start part number three. I want to start right here with this verse from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. The Bible says, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. That's just power. That's like fire right there. But I want to key in on this word promises. Let us keep a firm grip on the promises. Let me tell you something, church. We've been given promises by God. Promises to have victory. Promises for breakthrough. We've been given promises of things that we have when we walk in step with God. And in this breakthrough series, this is what I want us to cling to. That God, you've given a promise of victory, that I am more than a conqueror because of who is inside of me, that I am not the tail, rather I'm the head. I'm an overcomer in Jesus. This is a promise that we have been given. And here's what I want you to hear me say. Hang on to it. Because Satan is going to try to lie to you, church. Some of you guys are trying to make giant leaps forward in your faith right now, and Satan's going to do everything he can do to prevent you from progressing. I'm telling you. And he's going to tell you lies, and you're going to hear him speaking into your mind that that's not you. You'll never find freedom. You'll never take that step. You'll never be able to get away from this. You'll never start that. This thing will never launch. Like, whatever the lie might be, he is trying to speak it into you, and what I want you to do is just keep a firm grip on the promise that no, I'm victorious in Jesus. Amen, somebody. And I want us to cling tight to these promises. But to get to today's message, I want to review the last 2 weeks very briefly. I recognize that a lot of you have already heard these messages. I also recognize that some of you, maybe this is your first installment of the entire series. That's perfectly fine. Honestly, I intentionally try to build every message where it can just stand alone. Like, if you just get one part, you can still receive from it. But I would encourage you, if you have not seen part one or two, go back, watch it online. I don't think that it would be a waste of your time at all. In fact, I think that God's doing a supernatural thing right now, and I think that he would impart something into you in a supernatural way. Amen, somebody? So here's what I want to do. I want to review the first week of our series. I'm going to go to Psalm 16:11. The Bible says that you make known to me the path of life. It is in your presence that there is fullness of joy, the Bible says, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And we really keyed in on this word in week number one. Whoa, what just happened? We really keyed in on this word. Praise the Lord. Watch what I can do. Come on. I got a new toy, y'all. Watch this. We go forward, we go backward. Amen. It's pretty exciting. We keyed on this word. I'm scared that maybe my finger's getting too, like this word, presence. Maybe my finger was too close. I don't really know what was happening. But this idea of presence, and here's what we really talked about is this truth. Listen to me very carefully. This truth that God wants to be near you. Some of you do not believe that yet. Because what you say is, I'm broken, I'm sinful. If you knew my past, if you knew the stuff that went on in my life, if you knew my thoughts, oh my gosh, if you knew some of the mistakes that I had made. Some of you have this wrong mindset that God doesn't want to be anywhere near me because I have all these issues. Let me tell you something, that's a lie. And in part number one, we said we're going to break through the lie. Because the truth is that God wants to be very, very close. And I love the fact that it says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Because the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Like strength comes from having joy in the Lord. And the only place to find joy, true joy, is in the presence of God. We also talked about the reality that God's presence produces God's power. So if I need breakthrough from something, it's because I need help getting through something I can't get through on my own. So I'm bound by something. I'm locked into something. I've got a mindset issue. I've got a sin problem. I've got a belief problem. Like whatever it might be, the limiting belief that is stopping you from taking your next step or going to your next level, the enemy is lying to you and binding you up. But the presence of God produces God's power. Everywhere you see God's power in the Bible, his presence is there. And so my responsibility is to cultivate a relationship where I can get close to God, because if I can get into the presence of God, I can walk in the power of God. Amen. Amen. For some of you, that's all you need. You can go right now, and this is like you're going to be really successful because you're going to buy into a truth that God is not upset with you. He is not frustrated at you. He does not want you away from him. On the contrary, he wants you extraordinarily close to him because he has a compassionate, forgiving, gracious heart. Amen. Amen. Week number two, we talked about taking some steps. The Bible says that the Lord directs the steps of the godly, and he delights in every detail of their lives. I love that. Every detail. Like he cares about you, and he cares about what's going on, and he cares about what you care about. And last week, we went to the story of Jericho, and we talked about how God called his people to do some things. He said, what I need you to do is I need you to take some steps. Walk with me. Let's go on a journey together. He says, I want you to start marching around this city. I want you to just, for 6 days, I want you to march around it one time, every day. And then on the seventh day, I want you to march around it seven times. I just want you to take seven laps. And we talked about the reality that sometimes our breakthrough is just one step at a time. That God wants us to take steps of obedience. God wants us to take steps that are faithful. And God wants us to take steps in community, life together. And quite frankly, you'll never find your breakthrough alone. Amen. You will never find your breakthrough alone. You weren't designed to live alone. You weren't designed to fight alone. You were not designed to do it alone. You were designed to do it in community. And so we've been promoting groups, and we've been talking about Dream Team and All Access and all the ways that you can get connected to community, because some of you, that's the one thing you lack to find your breakthrough. Somebody else. You need them. And so we talked about these faithful steps. Today, I want to go back to Jericho. I want to go back to the same exact story because I believe that God has shown me something in this that some of you desperately need to hang on to your breakthrough, because some of you are going to have it. And if I believe that if you don't get this word rooted in your heart, you might not keep it. That's heavy. But I want to give something to you that I believe God has put inside of my heart. And it goes this way. I'm a preparation guy, like over the top crazy. I like being prepared. I honestly, I don't know if I've ever said this on a Sunday morning. I have nightmares that I'm standing on this platform with nothing to say. And I wake up in the dead of night, just cold sweats, freaks me out. Because I like being prepared. I'm a readiness thinker. I want to know what's coming. If I know something's ahead of me, I need to be thinking back to like, all right, if that's the deadline, what steps do I need to take between now and then, blah, blah, blah. I mean, to the point, guys, listen, I can remove the fun out of stuff because I'm such a preparation thinker. I mean, seriously, I can be freaking out like, all right, everybody, listen, we're going to need lots of water and we're going to need plenty of food rations. All right, everybody clear it. My wife interrupts and be like, Josh, a hurricane isn't coming. We're going to Disney World, okay? Relax. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm just like, let's make sure that we're ready. Some of y'all been to Disney World. You bring everything you can. Come on. It's expensive there. Amen. This is one of the things I love about Jesus, honestly, because I feel like Jesus is so transparent. He's so like forward about stuff. He would say things like, in this life, you're going to have tribulation. I love that realness. Like, tell me what's coming. Don't sell me something that isn't true. like, I just want to know what's ahead of me. So, hey, check it out. In this life, you're going to have tribulation. That's what Jesus said. But relax and be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And I love that. I love the reality that's like, I got you, but it's not going to be easy. Jesus was so real about everything. I mean, he would just look at Pharisees and be like, what's up? You're a hypocrite. He was real. He was so forward. He was so forward about things. And honestly, it's what I love about the life of Jesus because I want to be ready. Some of you are walking toward breakthrough and I want you to be ready. I want you to be ready to receive your breakthrough. Let's get started. I'm going to go back to Joshua chapter 6. The Bible says on the seventh day, so I'm going to give you context as we move through this story today, but just really quickly, I kind of already reviewed it, but really quickly, Israel's approaching their promised land. The first city that they have to conquer in order to walk into the promise that God has for them is this fortified city of Jericho. God gives them a strategy, and he says, you're going to march around the city. Like I said, you're going to do it once a day for 6 days. You're going to do it seven times on the seventh day, and then at the end, you're going to blow a trumpet. You're going to shout, and the walls are going to collapse. Listen to me carefully. That's supernatural. They took a lot of faithful, obedient community steps forward in order to see God's supernatural breakthrough in their lives. Amen. Then we pick the story up on the seventh day. The Israelites got up at dawn. They marched around the town as they had done before, but this time they went around the town seven times. And the seventh time around, as the priest sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be, watch this, just want you to key on some things, completely destroyed as an offering to the Lord. Only Rahab, and let's just pause right there, only Rahab is to be spared. Now, some of you guys are like, who is that and where did this come from? Rahab is a very critical part of the victory in Jericho because Rahab lived in Jericho. And Israel sent some spies to check out Jericho. Let's just see what we have against us. Let's just go. And they sent some spies. Rahab, a prostitute, took them into her home, which sounds scandalous, all right? But there was purity, all right? And goes into their home. She tells them, hey, everybody in Jericho is afraid of you guys. Like, I don't know what's going on, but they're pretty scared of you. And then the spy said, thank you so much for the intel. It was like this little recon mission. Hey, when we take this city, you'll be protected. That's the promise that they gave her. Everybody caught up to speed, so they go in, and everything's to be destroyed, but only Rahab the prostitute and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected. Again, you could underline that if you're a note taker. She protected our spies. Do not take any of the things set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could, and suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town. Watch this. Watch what they did. They went straight into the town. They captured it. All right? 21. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swordsmen and women, young, old, cattle, sheep, goats, donkeys, everything. That's how they say it in the South. Everything. They destroyed everything. Here's what I want to preach about today. I want us to break through the misconception. I believe that there are misconceptions in the body of Christ when it comes to breakthrough. I believe this misconception bleeds itself into all kinds of areas in our lives. But one of the things that I think that we have a misconception about is that when God supernaturally moves in my life, the game is over. I'm just here to report to you that simply isn't true. Now let's digress into our story a little bit. Israel has to have victory over Jericho in order to receive their promise. And we talked about clinging to God's promises. And they have to have victory in Jericho in order to receive God's promise. God calls them. I want you to begin walking. Let's go on a journey together. Take a walk with me. And they begin to take these faithful steps. And the Bible says they did it in his presence. So they have his power. They have his presence. They're taking obedient steps. They're taking faithful steps. They're taking steps together, and they march around the city. And then we just read that at the seventh lap, on the seventh day, they did what God had instructed, and they begin to blow the horns, and they begin to give a shout of praise, and then supernatural breakthrough takes place. The walls collapse. They fall to the ground. It's an amazing miracle. It's an unbelievable moment. I cannot imagine what it must have been like to be there, to witness. I guarantee you, people are like, OMG, like that just happened. Did you see that? Oh my gosh. But the very next thing Jericho has to do is go to battle. They said, hey, there's some stuff inside those walls that has to be destroyed. So get your swordsmen, get your warriors, and get your battle face on, and go over those crumbled walls that supernaturally fell because of the power of God, and start fighting. Let me tell you something, believers. Some of you need this to hang on to your breakthrough, that God is going to do some supernatural things in you. God is going to tear down some walls for you. God is going to allow you to walk into territory that you've never seen before, that you've never stepped on before, seasons of your life, depth of your spirituality that you've never experienced before, new heights that you've never seen before. God is going to take you places supernaturally that you've never been there before in your journey of faith. And guess what you're going to have to do once you arrive? Pull your sword out and start fighting. Because the reality of Jericho, not Jericho, but the Israelites' promised land, is that Jericho was just the first battle. There were many more battles that would come for them to inherit the promised land. And if I set myself up with the wrong way of thinking, if I'm not properly prepared, if I don't really know what's ahead of me, and I show up with nothing but a horn to blow and a voice to shout, and I leave my sword back at camp, I don't get victory. Now, I've seen God supernaturally move in my life, but if I'm not prepared for a battle, then something is going to go wrong for me. There are things in my life that still, after God's overwhelming power moves in my life, I still have to draw my sword and fight for. And I want you, church, to be ready for that. I want you to have this mindset to understand that, you know what? God might set me free in a supernatural way from pornography in my life, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to have to fight against pornography creeping back into my life later. God might help me to restructure my finances so that I can finally meet my goal to be debt free, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to have to fight against impulse buying later in my life.
Amen.
Oh, I'm such a solid place now. It really wouldn't hurt that bad. And then all of a sudden, if not careful, I'll trip and stumble right into the same problems that I had before because my sword wasn't ready for a fight. And God might do a miraculous thing in your marriage that we are connecting. Oh my gosh, like we haven't connected like this, Pastor, in years. It's unbelievable. Like something, it's like being on our honeymoon again. We've rejuvenated our love. It's been so good. But if I'm not prepared to fight still for the love of that relationship, then somebody else, something else, might creep back into my life to destroy what God did for me supernaturally. Am I making sense?
Yeah.
So I want you, this is the only thing I want you to write down today is this, that there are still battles on the other side of breakthrough. So I can't go into this thing with the wrong mindset, because if I do, I lose. That doesn't take away what God does, but if I don't have the right preparation, then I stand a chance to not be prepared to see my victory. Because listen carefully, church. We still live in a broken, sinful, fallen world. So there is a reality that my spirit is very much eternal and alive and connected to the one true living God. That is happening. But it's wrapped in carnality. And I still have to deal with people that don't see it like I see it, scenarios that don't always play out the way that I want them to. And as long as I'm here, wrapped in this flesh, wrapped in this carnality, I'm gonna tell you something, we have to fight against the temptation of our enemy to take us back to where we've just been set free from. Amen. Amen. So, practically, I want to give you a couple of things to think about. And the first one is this. I want you to ask two questions. I'm going to ask you two questions today. The first one is this. What do I need to destroy? What is it in your life? It's just time. Let's destroy it. What is it? Because there might be things in your life that you're fasting from right now that you just need to wipe them out. Let's just go ahead and do away with it forever. There might be things on the other side of your breakthrough that you're like, you know what? It really wasn't that this thing, it wasn't that this thing took me to my, or that this thing was my problem, but this thing might connect me to my problem. I'll just go ahead and destroy that. One of my favorite heroes in the faith, Pastor Craig Groeschel, love him. He has a statement. I'm going to do my best to get it correct. He says, why would I fight a temptation today that I can avoid yesterday? And so what he means is that if the boundary line of sin for me is here, that, man, if I step over that line, I'm really in sin, but I can do preventative actions and draw other lines back here, why would I get close to there? Let's just stay back here and not get there because I messed up over there, so I'll just stay far away from the boundary. One of the problems, I'm going to preach right here, preacher warning. One of the problems that some of us have is we just want to know how close can I get and be okay. And what we'll experience is breakthrough, and then we'll get right up to the boundary of the place where, well, God said destroy it, but I'm still kind of tampering with it just a little bit, and then all of a sudden, I've got issues starting to creep back into my life that want to take me where I thought I was free from. So our hearts need to be prepared to fight on the other side of our breakthrough. And I just believe that for some of you, if you had not heard someone actually say that, your mind wouldn't have been ready for a fight. So you would have seen it like, and you'd have, I'm gonna show you kind of how it happens. We have these moments with God and they're powerful and I think they're meaningful. And I think when we get into that, and I'm talking about when people experience the true presence and power of God, I think it shifts things forever in your spirit. Let me explain. Like, I have been in the overwhelming presence of God. I'm talking about in such heaviness, I can't stand under, physically cannot stand under the weight of it. And I'm gonna tell you right now, and some of you guys are like, oh man, our pastor might be crazy. You call me whatever you want. I've been there. Where I physically couldn't even stand under the power of God. And I'm gonna tell you something, you experience that, and you'll always long for more of that. Always. Like, I need it, but it's moments. Now, one day eternity's coming, and we're just going to get to, like, be in the presence of God, and we'll be able to sustain it. Right now, we can't because of our sin. But if I'm not careful, I can have one of these moments where it's like, oh, my gosh, I got to tell my life group leader. I know we've been praying, and oh, my gosh, like, I've got to tell you, like, God is doing this new thing, and we have this energy and this excitement because there is a moment. There's, like, the moment the walls fall. And it, listen to me, it's meaningful, it's powerful, and they are collapsed. And we get this excitement, but if I'm not prepared to draw my sword and stay at war, then it'll only be a moment. And then what'll happen is the enemy will start saying, well, you know, that wasn't really real. It was a flash in the pan. You know, you were just on an upswing in your life at that point, you know, blah, blah. You were really just kind of moved by the music. Come on, right? I know that some of us have had powerful encounters with God in worship in this church. And then as soon as we get out there in life again, Satan's like, well, it was just the atmosphere. No, 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 it was the power of God. I just need to be prepared to pull my sword out and fight something. Now, there's another part to it. Number two is this. I want you to ask the question, what do I need to protect? Because Israel not only was commanded to go into Jericho and destroy everything, they were also commanded to go into, did I say Israel? I meant Jericho, if I said it wrong. They were also commanded to go into Jericho and protect some things. And it was Rahab and her family. So go in there and protect the things that got you here. Some of y'all know where I'm about to go. Come on. Some of y'all super spiritual. It's like, ooh, I see it. Because Rahab got Israel to the supernatural breakthrough. It was Rahab's word. It was her intel. It was what she gave to them that gave them the right to move. And God had said, I've given you the city. Go get it. And so some of us are walking toward this victory. We're taking these steps. And man, this is amazing. And I've been in prayer and I've been fasting and I'm doing things I've never done. And we have all this momentum going on, like I talked about this morning. And we're going, and then we see this breakthrough happen. Oh my gosh. And we're thankful. And we will certainly give God praise. And we're going to do all those things. But at the same time, on the other side of that breakthrough, if we don't protect the right things, we will also find ourselves back where we started. So for some of you, you've had faithful time every single day with God. Listen, on day number 22, don't stop. Yeah. Protect what got you here. Yeah. Some of you, and listen, please hear me. I'm not trying to just get you to show up to church for the sake of showing up to church. I'm not interested in counting you. I'm interested in helping you, okay? But some of you experience God here. Nowhere else. Some of you have zero church background. This is new atmospheres, new things for you. Like, all of this is new. But when you come here, you're experiencing God here. There's like a power here. You almost can't explain it. Like, you're trying to, like, I don't even know what it is exactly. But man, like, something is happening when I'm there. But then, you know, 7 days separate the next opportunity for you there. And there's a lot of stuff that can happen in that span of time. And then, you know, by Saturday, it's like, well, I'm not quite feeling it. Like, I mean, yeah, it was good, but I'm in a whole different atmosphere. I'm feeling different. It's time to draw that sword and guard against some things. Because if this is the place that you're encountering God, protect it. Stop letting it be an option for you. And start making it a priority for you. Like, I'm not thinking of going to church. I go to church. Oh, you're so religious. You call it whatever you want to call it. I'm just trying to experience breakthrough. I'm going to protect the things that have helped me get here. And being in the house of God is helping me do that. Amen. For some of you, I know, listen very carefully. I know how busy life is. I know. But you, when you were in that life group last semester, you made some friendships that were changing your life. And now you're like, well, it's the spring, I'm so busy. I don't know if I'm gonna do it this semester. I don't really know. But listen to me carefully. Protect the things that got you here. Guard against the things that the enemy wants to take away from you that got you to your supernatural breakthrough. What are you gonna destroy? What are you gonna protect? We have to fight and we have to guard against the tactics of the enemy. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around. We worship you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Just reverently, maintain this posture, if you would, just with your head bowed. Just keep your eyes closed for a minute. I really would like you just to kind of reflect and look inside of yourself for a moment. I want to ask a couple of questions. Number one, I want to ask you this, like, what is it? What is it? It's just time to destroy it. This is the time. Just try to get that. Once you have that in your mind, hold it in your heart. What is it in your life that you need to protect? You need to keep doing. It's gotten you here. It's brought you all these steps. It's carrying you to victory. Breakthrough has become a reality because of some things that you've done. Well, then I would ask you to hold that inside of your heart. And then I want to pray for you. I want to pray for this whole church. I have been faithfully every single day praying for you during this time of fasting. Now I want to pray for your breakthrough. And then at the end of that prayer, I'm going to ask another question and have another prayer. So I'm just going to invite you to, again, just stay in this posture. I know it might feel awkward, but just stay in this posture for a moment. Father, I come before you right now, and I pray, Father, for every person in this church, every person, Lord God, that watches or listens online, that is calling out to you for breakthrough in this season of their life. Lord, those that are fasting and separating from some things, that are stretching themselves, that are tired of what they've been getting, and they're ready to get something different. Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would begin to move in their hearts and in their lives in supernatural ways. I pray, Father, that you would help us all, myself included, to identify what things do I need to destroy? What are the things that I need to protect? Because I recognize that on the other side of my breakthrough, I still have battles to fight. There are still going to be difficulties in front of me and temptations and draws. And so, Father, I pray that you not only would help us to identify those things, but, Father, help us to fight those things, to destroy some things that are not necessary and not beneficial, and then to protect the things that are necessary and are beneficial. And help us, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, to draw our swords and be warriors and be fighters and stand firm in our faith and cling to your promises of victory and breakthrough in our lives, we pray in Jesus' name. With every head still bowed, every eye still closed, I love asking this question. Maybe you're here this morning. You've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're listening to a podcast or watching online and you've never made a decision to give your life to Jesus. If that's you, I want to invite you to make that decision right now, right where you are, right where you are, right there where you're seated, in your car, on your jog, whatever you might be doing, however you might be receiving this content, right there, I want to invite you to make a decision to follow Jesus. If you've made that decision, I want to lead you in a prayer. It's very simple because the Bible says that all we have to do is believe in our hearts, the Lord Jesus, and confess with our mouths, and we will be saved. And so I just want to lead you in a prayer. I want to help you. It'll be my words, but it's going to come from your heart. Church, y'all know how we do it. I always ask everybody in the auditorium to say it with us just so that those that are saying it for the first time can say it with boldness and confidence. I want you to say this prayer. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I give you my life. All of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Amen. Let's give God some praise for those that made that decision. It's awesome.